Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is indeed good to be here again, and thank you, Brother Henry, for the time that you spent in preparing and sharing what God had for you to say. I really appreciate what was shared there. I think there was a lot of cautions. There was a lot of wake up and pay attention. And we just sang the song, When the Battle's Over. The battle's not over yet. That's an exciting song because it gives us hope and something to look forward to. I've been doing some reading the last several years. I've been reading through the Bible every year, a couple different types of reading schedules there. But it's really been encouraging. And part of what's so encouraging as I'm reading through, I get a much fuller picture about what is happening. And just so thankful for that opportunity. At first, I don't know, I may have done that years ago. I can't remember. But when I first decided to do that some years back here, it just looked pretty big and looked pretty daunting and pretty overwhelming. But I got through the first year there and I thought, that's good. And so I've been doing it for several years now and just really thankful for the opportunity. I would encourage you to consider it. One of the things, and I think this maybe the last few years, I've been doing a reading where it's some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament each day. And that's really good, at least for me it was, because it kept me in both Old and New Testament. But one of the readings that I had done here, I think it may have been last month, it's a little while back here, but was Isaiah chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 5. And I thought it was interesting when I read through them, it really struck me some of the things that were kind of alike, and I'm sure that happens many times, but for whatever reason, it really spoke to me, and I was so encouraged with it. I started to think about some of those things, and so I started writing some things down about that. And Lord willing, plan to share some of that here this morning. Some of the ideas and thoughts there, not the entire chapters, but some things out of them. Before we do that, let's have prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for all that you give us, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the reminders to be prepared for the battle. And I trust, Lord, that you would help each of us as we look into your word here even more to be paying attention and thinking about what you have for us and being prepared for the battle. Just thank you for each one here. Pray for those that are gone, some out of state, some home not feeling well. Whatever the reason might be, Lord, just pray that you would be near them. And thank you again for this opportunity to be together. And may you be honored and glorified in what is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title I chose for the message this morning is, Are We Listening to God? And I think that that is something that we have to be paying attention every day, because God has something new for us every day. When I say, are we listening to God, I'm not. There's actually a couple of ways. One of them is, do we know what God is wanting for us to do? Number one. Number two, do we know what God is offering us as his people? Some real exciting things if we're paying attention. I really believe that our lives many times are so busy that we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand, we end up shutting out what some of God is saying to us. Not intentionally, but that happens. Our life is just so busy, and what God is wanting from us and what God is offering us. By God's grace and with his help, my desire is to share some thoughts on that this morning. We should purpose to sometimes slow down and take more time for God and his word. It would appear as though, well, we don't have enough time to get all the important things done today. maybe those things aren't as important as we think they are. After all, who is our provider? Who is the one that cares for us? Who is the one that guides us and leads us? I think we all know, and I think we need to be encouraged to consider that. One thing that I thought of when I was preparing this, and I think we talked about it maybe even in our small group, when you prepare, some of you might not be too familiar with this, but when you prepare to share with a group of people or to share something, many times when you're studying, you get a whole lot out of it, and it can be pretty exciting, and it really helps you in your walk. And oftentimes, I believe it's understood that the person that's preparing for sharing gets a whole lot more out of it than the people that they're sharing to. So I challenge us, if that is the case, why do we have to wait until we have to share in public or a group of people? Why aren't we studying today, each of us? I know that's been a challenge for me, because when I don't have to share, you tend maybe to, maybe like what Henry was saying, kind of get lulled to sleep because you're not paying attention, because you're not challenged. And so I would encourage us to do that. Whether you're sharing or not, be studying, be preparing. Talking about being busy, I think I'm sure you've heard this poem before, but I believe it really explains our lives and why we are not really showing the world who is in charge and who is our provider. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." Is that what the world sees us doing? Buzzing around, hurrying, scurrying, worrying, anxious? Let us take that principle to heart and spend time in God's word and prayer. If you take your Bibles and open to Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit of the word here. And something that come to mind, and I don't know, it's come to mind several times. There's two verses here I'd like to read that are not Isaiah chapter 1, but you get to Isaiah chapter 1. This is in Nehemiah 8, 2 and 3. "On the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen and understand. So Ezra read it aloud from daybreak until noon as he faced the square before the water gate in front of the men and women, those who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the word of the law." I'm not planning, well, I didn't start at daybreak. It might be noontime till I'm done here, but would we be able to listen to the reading of the word from daybreak until noon? And would we be listening attentively? I believe I'm too busy for that. And I believe that it would be a challenge for me. And I kind of have a feeling it might be a challenge for a lot of us. Is it any wonder the church is drifting away? So I'd like to read a little bit of the word here, and while I do that, why don't we stand, those that can, if you have little ones, and I understand not everybody can, but all those that stand, Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 2 to verse 20, not very long. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am aware, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease the widow, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You may be seated. Are you listening to God? Did you hear what he was saying? Verse 2 to 6 there, he was talking about our wickedness. I know that was talking about Judah here, but we're no different. And our wickedness is really bad. And then the other verses there, God was speaking about, up to 15, he was speaking about how he's seeing all they are trying to do to please God. They were doing a lot of what they thought good stuff. But God said, I will have none of it. What are we doing today to please God? Or at least making ourselves feel good. So I get to church every Sunday. Does that make me feel good? God wants our full attention every day. What we do matters. And I think that we heard about that here. We can just float along and there will be consequences. Or we can be paying attention. We so often get caught up in the things of the world, whether it be little things, whether it be what's going on around the world, whether it be what happened in Lewiston. You know, I struggled with that because I wanted to know what was going on, but I really didn't want to spend too much time in that because it didn't matter if I read every bit of information that came out about what happened in Lewiston. I wasn't going to change anything. It really didn't matter. And that's true probably for most of us. And that's true about the world events, actually. It is important that we know what's happening around the world, but it's more important that we know what God's word says and what he wants us to be doing. He wants us to be coming to him, to seek his face. In many ways, the people in Judah here were dealing with the same stuff, or maybe we're dealing with the same stuff they were dealing with. Many churches make up what we think the Lord wants to see or hear. But it can turn out just to be something to make us feel good. More programs, more excitement. Let's go to that church. There's a lot of stuff happening there. Well, maybe there is. Does it really matter? I hope it matters. I hope it's what the Lord's wanting them to do. Verse 10, listen to what the Lord says. God was not finished with them. He wanted their attention. He wasn't saying, get out of here, get lost. I don't want anything to do with you. I mean, what they were doing, he didn't want to have anything to do with, but he wanted them. He wanted their attention. God is so patient. The day is coming when that patience will end. But today, he's still calling people to him. He's still calling us to him. Are you listening? Are you too busy doing your own thing? 11, multitude of sacrifices were no longer pleasing to God. 14, new moons and festivals, that abhors them. 15, spreading out their hands and praying many prayers. Oh, wouldn't that look really nice? All they standing there spreading out many prayers. Wow, aren't they beautiful? He said, I will not hear them. If we are not one of his, we can pray all day, but I don't think God will hear us if we are not doing and listening and seeking and wanting what he wants for us. We can see that all around us in many ways. Without a right heart, a yearning after God and his word, we can become just like the people of Judah. Matthew Henry once said, when sinners are under the judgments of God, they will more easily be brought to their devotions than to forsake their sins and reform their lives. I had to really think about that. Is that what's happening to many Christians today? Is that what's happening to us? God brings something into our life and we go running to him. But we refuse to get rid of the stuff that he wants us to get rid of. They thought they were doing the right things. Being busy, doing what they thought, and not taking the time to listen to what God wants. They weren't noticing their sinful ways. They were trying to do church in their own way and not making the necessary changes. How many people today are trying to do church? And that's all it is. There's nothing for real there. Lord, help us to realize our great need for you and learn how to forsake our own ways and give all of ourselves to you. In these verses, sort of reminded me of what was happening there in Galatians chapter 5. Flip over, you can keep your hand or a finger here in Isaiah 1 or mark it. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 5. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at a few verses there. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast means to stand in the freedom that we have in Christ. God has done the work. If we don't accept it, we cannot find true freedom. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. How do we get entangled in the yoke of bondage? By going back to the idea that we have to do our thing, our way, and that's what's making us free. That's being caught up in the yoke of bondage. By doing things to earn our own salvation. Part of man's problem is the desire to try to fix it ourselves in our own power. That's called pride. Only one power fixes our problem, and it is Jesus and the shed blood. When we understand that, it gives us power to be victorious. Remember, the reason we do what God asks us to do is not to earn our salvation, but out of obedience and a love for Him. That can get so mixed up, especially in our conservative churches, because little children come along and they do this and they do that, and we're told to do this and we're told to do that, and that's all right and good and great. But in our minds, we get mixed up and we're doing this, and that's what makes us great. That's not what makes us great. What makes us great is trusting in our faith in God. He knows better than we what is best for us. Most of God's ways take time. It's not a quick fix. I mean, it is a quick fix in that when we truly give our heart to Him, then we are His. But there's so much self here. And that's the problem. That's the thing that takes time. It takes time for all that to get weeded out. I'm really thankful for God's patience to weed that stuff out. We need to be listening and paying attention. What does He want us to do? Getting ourselves out of the picture and out of the way is what is the difficult part. His salvation is there, and it's free. Remembering that it is God that does the work, not ourselves. Remember what Herod did when all the people were saying, there's a God, look at Him. He failed to give God the glory. And we know what happened. He died and was eaten by worms. James 1, 16 through 18, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every gift, perfect gift, is from above and cometh down from the Father of heavenly lights. Imagine what this world would be like if all the Christians were taken out and the whole influence of Christianity and God was gone. Thank the Lord, I won't be here. It would be pretty devastating, and I don't think we'd want to be around. I know the wars look really, really bad, and they are really bad, and stuff is really tough, and things are really hard, but without any Christian influence, without God in the presence, in the making, things would be really bad. Lest we think too highly of ourselves, we must remember all good is from above. I think it is safe to say it doesn't matter if the person is a Christian or not. Any good done is because of God's mercy and because of His goodness. So we can go out there and do a lot of good things. That's not what makes us a Christian. That is mercy that God has bestowed upon us and given us so we can do good work. And there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of good works and good things. That doesn't make them a Christian. Let us remember where our strength, where our hope, where our salvation comes from. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Ain't getting there any good works any other way, only because of Jesus and what He has done for us. I really like Jude 20, verses 24, 25, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. That is so comforting because I know that it is Him that is going to keep me from falling and going to present me faultless if I accept Him and what He has done for me. Remember, we need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Back on to Galatians there, chapter 5. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. These verses are telling us that looking to anything other than grace alone, through faith alone, we are leaving the privilege of accepting salvation by the grace of God. Are we listening? Again, part of man's difficulty in accepting this is the fact that this puts salvation completely in the shed blood of Christ, not in my worth or anything that I do. And that's exactly where we need to be. When we understand that, we can have a peace and we can have a strength that can't be explained. Now, I didn't read the entire chapter there, but there in verse 13 in that chapter, it says, of Galatians 5, I want you to be sure that we understand that it's stated, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, it is by grace alone, but we don't use our liberty to feed our flesh. We use it to love first of all Christ and then others. And that is why we have that liberty. The message of the true gospel is that nothing can be added to faith in Christ as necessary for winning favor with God. Adding circumcision or any other mandate of the law as being necessary in order to secure right standing with God is not the biblical way of salvation. The Judaizers were trying to make the people think they needed to go back to doing things in the law. Here specifically, circumcision to be saved. Are we trying to do Christianity the way the people of Judah were doing it? Doing more of what they thought were the right things, not taking the time to listen to God and do what He wants? Flip back there to Isaiah chapter 1. Now, we went through a lot of things there that we need to be paying attention to, because we need to know where our salvation comes from. We need to be careful that we are committing our all to God and doing what He wants, not what we want. Back here in Isaiah, chapter 1, starting in verse 16, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Practice what is good. Seek justice. The people of Judah did many things to make people and themselves feel like they loved God, but God cared more about how they treated people than about what they were doing. Come and let us, verse 18, come and let us reason together. This is exciting. God is calling you and me to come and reason together, to listen to Him. Hear what He wants for us. He wants great things for you. God is calling you to seek Him. Acknowledge our need for Him. Get rid of our foolish ways. God will not deny the truth of what the sinner has confessed, but He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Even red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is offering a clean slate. I think this is saying it does not matter what you did. It matters what you give him of yourself and let him clean you up. Our good works can't clean the stain. Our best intentions can't. Our promises can't clean the stain. Our suffering or pain can't clean the stain. Time can't clean the stain. Only the work of Jesus can clean the stain. Verse 19, if we are willing and obedient, we can be blessed. Verse 20, if we do not give up ourselves, we will be devoured. Are we listening? Did you just hear what God said in these verses? We so often look at ourselves so much, and this brings discouragement and depression. However, we must remember that God said he will wash away our sins. We must keep our eyes on the work of the cross. It is God that does all the work in our lives. Did you ever look out in the morning after a snowy night? And the sun comes up, it's a beautiful morning, but it snowed all night. It's all white. I remember that when I was young, going out sledding. You go up on the hill, and the sun was so bright you could hardly see because the snow was so white. That's what he does for us. That's how he cleans us up, perfectly white. If we go back to Galatians chapter 5, he gives us the Spirit. Verse 22 through 26 there. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit. Do we feel privileged and thankful for God giving us the Spirit and the results of that? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is exciting stuff. Look at what God is wanting to put into us. Look what he is offering us. We sing a song, "Oh, to be like thee." This is to be like him. We'll look at these briefly. Love is the first one listed there. Love is, first of all, supreme devotion to God. Love is a God-given passion to honor the Creator and to seek the highest welfare of every human being. When I think of that, I think we have to go to 1 Corinthians 13. You don't have to turn there, but love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We couldn't say it better ourselves. That's why it's in the Word. True Christian love will never seek anything but the highest and the best for the object of that love. There's not a better example of that love than to look to Jesus, and of course, cannot be completely understood in this life. That's why it's faith, because we can't understand it completely, but that's what we look for. Joy. Joy is a deep inner radiance of the soul, resulting from the knowledge that God works things out for our good. It is a condition of inner satisfaction and untouchable joy that comes from knowing Christ and walking with him. Peace. Peace is the rest and calmness that results from a harmonized relationship between the soul and God. The story is told, I think I may have told this once before. The story is told about a sister in London who, during World War II, when the city was being bombed every night, seemed to be calm and altogether undisturbed. When asked how she could sleep, she said, "My Heavenly Father never sleeps, so I kneel down before my bed, before I go to sleep, and commend my life to God in prayer. After that, there is no use the two of us stay awake." That is the kind of confidence that we have in our Heavenly Father's care that demonstrates the peace of God. And the shooting that happened this last week was pretty far away from us, so I'm sure we didn't have to think too much about it. What if that gentleman was running loose in our neighborhood? Could we still go to God and say, "I give it to you. I trust you," and go to sleep and rest in peace? Excuse me, a lot of people are dealing with that today with all the war that's going on, all the bombings and all the stuff that's happening. I know, in a very small way, I had to think of that when I was in volunteer service. That was many years ago. And I had trouble with the wood stove, and I could not get the wood stove to cooperate. And that was my only source of heat in well below zero weather. So I wanted to go to sleep. I was tired. And so I got it set. And I remember the one night I said, "Lord, I need rest." And I went to sleep. Thank the Lord, he kept the wood stove going. Long-suffering is the quality of self-restraint which does not quickly retaliate. Long-suffering is the same as our English word patience. It is a quality that I believe most of us wish we had more of. The ability to absorb irritating things without being paralyzed. Jesus gave us the perfect example in his being reviled, but reviled not again. When things come against us, does it stop us? Kindness speaks of thoughtful consideration, which leads to courteous and kindly action. It is the act of being friendly, sympathetic, and polite. It is the opposite of being rude and thoughtless. We can be too busy in life to be kind because we are on to doing the next thing on our list. That's a good one for me. I've got a list to get done. But are people more important? Taking time to build relationships can be a big thing in being able to show kindness. Taking the time to listen to people is of vital importance. Goodness is the generosity and benevolence which causes one to do helpful things for others. In Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Faithfulness is the quality of reliability and trustworthiness, which makes one's word become his bond. God never fails to keep his word. Psalms 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Faithfulness implies that faith is more than a momentary assent to the truth of God. It is a commitment to that truth, and it manifests itself in continued obedience. Gentleness is often translated meekness. It is a tenderness of spirit that enables one to endure persecution graciously and to witness to others with sensitivity. Gentleness speaks of a submissive and teachable spirit. Gentleness is the quality that makes one submissive rather than arrogant and haughty and rebellious. Gentleness cannot happen when we are too busy and think more about what we have to get done than how we treat people. I think that's what he's talking about there in Isaiah. Self-control. That's the quality which leads to mastery over evil inclinations. Self-control is moderation in using the good things and abstaining from the evil. The self-controlled person leads a well-balanced life, avoiding extremes in our actions, including how we spend money, how much food we eat, etc. Self-control is not easy because it runs contrary to the human nature. It gets in our way of what we want, of what the flesh wants. When we have self-control, remember that doesn't mean that I'm the greatest person on this earth. It means that God's doing a work in my heart. Do we find ourselves looking at these virtues that God offers us and say, wow, that looks difficult. That looks hard. I cannot do that. Or do we look at them and say, thank you, Lord, for making these available to me through your love for me. Help me to grow in these areas of my life so others can see what you can do for them. Just as it states in Isaiah 1 about how we are washed whiter than snow, we can be assured if we give our foolish hearts to Christ and walk in the Spirit, this is what he can do for us in him alone. Pray for God to do a work in you, to see you the way God sees you after you are washed in the blood and made whiter than snow. The words in 24 and 25. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Do not mean that the tendencies of the old man are destroyed. It means that we no longer find satisfaction and fulfillment in living contrary to the will of God. That is the biggest difference. Is my heart, is my desire to do what God wants? Sometimes we trip up. Sometimes we fail. But if our heart is right, we'll go back to God. Are we listening to God? Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus says, cast all your cares on me. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Do we come to him daily? Are we too busy? If we say we have too much to do, and don't have time to spend with him, we are too busy. Are you able to cast all your cares on him? Or is it easier to hang on to them because then we feel like we are doing something or having something to worry about? Sometimes we find a little comfort in that. Not sure why, but I guess it keeps us busy. Do we feed on the bread of life, which is Jesus, every day? Lord, help us stop and take the time necessary to listen to you, to recognize your work in our lives, and to rejoice in you in our hearts and in our lives. To God be the glory, great things he has done and great things he will do when we commit all to him. Thank you for your time.